everyone. Happy Sunday evening. And, yep, I am just back from vacation. In fact, we arrived home almost exactly an hour ago. So I don't know about that fresh as a daisy, Lynn. I kind of feel, you know, like I've been traveling all day. A little more on the tired side. But one thing I've learned is that, it doesn't matter how tired I am when I sit down to the mic. Holy Spirit always wakes me up. So it's irrelevant. So I'm happy about that. I know that I'm going to be waking up in just a minute. We are here for Holy Spirit Guides, which is the period of time that I've set aside to go over the personal messages that I received from Holy Spirit in order to be helpful to me. And of course, right now we're in the period of time when I was in relationship with Laurent, and the messages that were received were for both of us. And today's message is kind of interesting. I'm sure that the content of the message is. I haven't read it, so I don't remember what's in it. But the date is what stood out to me. The date of the message is very interesting. It's October 15th, 2007. When Laurent and I were guided to join together, I think you guys know we didn't really know each other. We had met at a conference, but we didn't really know each other. And I always joke that our first date was 6.5 weeks long. He came to live with me for 6.5 weeks, and that was our first date. Well, October 15th is the end of the first date. October 15th, 2007 is the day that Laurent went home at the end of that first 6.5 weeks. So it was kind of a milestone for us. I've been telling you the story, and I think that you all know that a lot of the first 6 weeks was spent with a lot of kind of feelings of hate, both on my part and on his part, and you know that it was very difficult. You also know that in very early October, a message came called The Code. And you know that through the code, I learned what hate was. I learned that hate is literally nothing but the effect of believing hate thoughts. And I learned that if I did not want to feel that emotion of hate, that what I needed to do was I needed to turn down the hate thoughts. By turn down, I mean refuse. The Course calls it deny, positive use of denial. Another way to say it is decide that I just don't want those thoughts. The symbol that I gave you all was just like chicken gizzard soup on a menu. I can look at chicken gizzard soup on a menu and say, I don't want that. I could look at a hate thought and say, I don't want that. And I really understood this. When the code came and taught this to me, it taught this to me well. So well that I began to practice the code immediately. Now, the code came in early October. In fact, hold on one second. Just for a matter of record, I think I have it here. I should have it here. Heck. But I'm blind without my glasses. So I'm there. Now things are clear. Ah, it's clear. Oh, actually, September 30th is when I typed it up, and it came a few days before that because I was very resistant to it. So it came near the end of September. I typed up about 3 or 4 days after it came, and I typed it up on September 30th, it looks like. So I started practicing the code after I received it. By the time Laurent left on October 15th, so we're really only talking 2 or 3 weeks, right? By the time Laurent left on September 15th, I was done with hate. I was done with it. In fact, I know that I was done with it because I haven't felt it since, and now we're in 2011. What happened with Laurent again is that the hate became so strong, as you know, that I couldn't stand it. I always liken it to that lesson in A Course in Miracles that says, to say you want the peace of God is nothing, to mean it is everything. Well, I was with Laurent when I came to mean it. I want the peace of God. I don't want this hate. The hate was too much of a burden for me to carry anymore. The code came, taught me how to lay down the burden. I followed the code to a T. I practice it consistently every waking moment to the best of my ability. And literally within a few weeks, I was done with the emotion of hate. So what happened after that, something quite interesting happened. I began now falling in love. And Deb says, was I always aware of my hate of Laurent? Well, I only have known him 6 weeks at this point, so I don't know what the word always means. But yeah, pretty dang close after he moved in with me, I became pretty aware of it. There was no hidden hate ever. There was no long period of hating each other and not being aware of it. That was just kind of how we got to know each other, was through that emotion first. It was our first experience with each other, really. But now, I think what the point I want to make now is, first of all, I think the first point I want to make, and I really do want to make this point, even though I know that maybe at least one person is tired of me making it, I still want to make the point because I think it's important for anyone who is ready to hear it, as they say, for those with ears to hear. It doesn't have to take forever to be done with this stuff. You just have to really want to be done with it. What happened for me, you know, although there was extreme hate, and extreme hate does not sound fun, what happened for me in this relationship was that I became so fully tired of hating that I became completely ready to be done with it forever. And then guidance came to teach me how to do that. And then I followed that guidance. And within less than 3 weeks, within it looks like about 2.5 weeks, I was done with it. That's amazing to me. That's amazing to me, on the one hand. And on the other hand, I know it's absolutely possible. So I think that it's just a matter of, when are we going to be ready? When are we going to be ready to really make these decisions and to really commit to this guidance and to really practice these practices? But they absolutely work. Now, I was done with hate. I've not yet been done with ego. I'm still working on that. I seem to be cutting down this tree one branch at a time. So there we go. So what happened then? What happened when I was done with the hate? Well, something came to fill the vacuum. That's what happened. And in my case, the next step was falling in love, which I have learned from my own experience is a whole lot trickier than hate. Because hate, you know, most of us are smart enough to recognize is something we don't want. Falling in love, however, we're not usually quite that smart. The truth is, it's just as much of a trick. When I hated Laurent, I knew I didn't want that. When I fell in love with Laurent, I thought I did want that. In fact, during this period of time that this falling in love period lasted, I was literally saying, thank you, Holy Spirit. And I meant for this relationship, and I meant because I'm falling in love, and I meant because this is heaven. You know, this is what the Course tells us, but, you know, I think most of you are as foolish as I am. I really don't think I'm alone in this. That when we go through the experience of falling in love, we fall for the trick again, this is heaven. Because at first, that's what it feels like, right? So I don't think I'm the only fool. But that's what came next. So that's what came next. That was ego's next trick for me. And it took me a little longer to catch on to that one. Now, if Laurent were here, he is not, he would tell you that I did learn from the next trick as well. And in fact, I have told him, and he knows that I mean this fully, that I am done with falling in love. Now I only want to be love. But falling in love is ego's trick. Falling in love is its substitute for us being love. And that's the next trick that I fell for. So On October 15th, my experience was I was newly in love. It felt wonderful, like falling in love does, except for the fact that he was leaving. And Jasmine will tell you that for the next 3 days, I cried all day, every day. I couldn't stop crying because this is so funny. 3 weeks before, I hated him, right? But now I'd let go of hate and something else came to fill the vacuum, the falling in love. And somehow, I'm not exactly sure how. I kind of wish Laurent was here, but he's not. So, you know, I don't know how his side of the story happened. But I'll just say he facilitated my falling in love. And what I mean by that was something in him changed enough also that he was not hating me during this point. Now, the hate later returned on his part. But he was not hating me during this period of time. And, you know, it seemed to be, you know, from my point of view, I mean, he was being as romantic with me as I was with him. It seemed to be, you know, returned. So I would say it facilitated my falling in love. I'm not going to say he was falling in love, but he facilitated mine. I will say that. That's all I'm going to say about this now. There's going to be the next several weeks I'm falling in love, falling in love, falling in love, all the way until January. That's when the ego trap, boom, comes crashing down. But for me, what I'm now going to be going through is weeks of being in love and falling more and more in love every day. I missed Laurent when he was gone. I was thrilled when he returned. And I thought I was in heaven. I thought Holy Spirit had given me everything I wanted. Little did I realize that it was ego setting its trap. All right, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to say a prayer, and then we're going to look at this last message that I received from Holy Spirit the day that Laurent was leaving, October 15th, 2007, the end of our first date. If y'all would just join me quickly for the prayer, I'd appreciate it. Holy Spirit, I want to say that I am grateful to look at this story of Regina and Laurent with clarity. The ego is a tricky part of our mind. The ego is not a devil. In fact, one of the very first personal messages you ever gave me is one that we call, ego is not the devil. It's not something outside of us, waiting in the shadows to trick us. It's just a part of our own mind. It's our own desires which are misplaced. Desires that desire something other than truth, and therefore they lead us off in directions of illusion. And no illusion can satisfy. Let us not be fooled by our own tricky mind, ingenious mind. Let us listen to our heart. Let us be aware fully of the one desire that satisfies, know thyself. And let us not be tricked by any other appearances. Amen. There we go. Short but sweet. Okay, so I just told you the story of my falling in love. That really has nothing to do with the message I'm about to read, however. Like I said, this was something that was happening. This was something that I was grateful for. The boom didn't fall for me until January, so we won't really have a message about this until January. Because, you know, you're not asking for help on something when it's all grand and great, right? So right now, I think that the falling in love thing is going perfectly. It seems to be going perfectly. So we're not going to see any messages about falling in love right now, right? Messages are about something else. Let me give you a link. I haven't done that, have I? Sorry, been away for a week and I'm forgetting my job. There's a link to the message. The name of the message is Victim is a Carefully Crafted Experience. It is dated October 15th, 2007. It is not posted on reginadonacres.com. I'm giving it to you in PDF format. And here is the question. Laurent is leaving today. Is there anything you would share with us now? He is most interested in learning to let go of the experience of being pulled down by others. So you can see that I don't have a question. Everything's hunky-dory with me, right? But Laurent has a question. He's interested in learning to let go of the experience of being pulled down by others. So some of you may have had this experience as well, or you may have this experience today, where you feel like, on your own, you can be in a pretty good mood, but then you walk in among your coworkers or your spouse or, people bickering in ACIM Gather, people who aren't in as good a mood as you, and suddenly you're pulled down by them, right? Some of you may have that experience. So that's what Laurent is asking for help with. Here's Holy Spirit's answer. Being pulled down by others. Being affected by their moods, their energy fields, or their observable actions is only a choice in perception. More than that, it is only a perception which always follows your choice. So what Holy Spirit is telling us right off the bat is that it's not true. It's not true that you are pulled down by others. Melissa has worded it in a great way. I see she says she had this question a couple weeks ago, but I love the way she worded it because it's more spiritual, and we're a spiritual group, so we tend to believe in spiritual things even when they're not true. So we can have the believing of I'm being pulled down by someone else's vibes or someone else's energy, right? I've heard people tell me, Holy Spirit says that person has a bad vibe. I should stay away from them or I'll get pulled down. Now, I almost never correct anyone, okay, unless I feel a very strong prompt to do so. I almost never correct anyone. So I allow people to have that thought if that's the thought they want to have. But I will tell you it's not correct. Holy Spirit would not tell you that someone else's vibe is going to pull you down. That's just you listening to your own spiritual ego. And here's what Holy Spirit has to say, okay? Holy Spirit says, being pulled down by others, being affected by their moods, their energy fields, or their observable actions. So it doesn't matter if you're being spiritual about this or more world-based about this. Doesn't matter how you... what your excuse is, what your story is for how you're being pulled down, it's not true. He says it is only a choice in perception. More than that, it is only a perception which always follows your choice. So you are not victim. The Course says you're not victim of the world you see. You're also not victim by the moods, the energy, the vibes, or the actions of others. The only thing you can be affected by is your choice. Could be your choice to believe your own judgments about that person in your mind that is actually pulling you down. That's what's most likely happening. You're believing your own judgments about that person in your mind, and it's that belief in your own judgments that's pulling you down. All right, let's go on to the second paragraph of the message, and I will just post the link again. I think people are still joining with us. Here is the link. Second paragraph. You cannot have the experience of victim without first choosing to be victim. There is no exception to this fact. You are the powerful Son of God. And every experience that you have must follow your choice. It may be helpful to see why you choose this experience. When you see why and see that the reasons do not serve your purpose, you may be more willing to let go of your choice. So I am not the victim of the world I see, but it seems like I am, right? And the reason Spirit says it seems like I am is because we are making a choice to be victim. And of course, this isn't a choice that we're consciously aware of, right? When my husband comes through the door after a day at work yelling at me and the good mood I had disappears and I feel myself getting nervous and defensive and then upset, he's the one that walked through the door, right? But Spirit's saying, no, any reactions that you had when he walked through the door yelling at you were your choice. Sure, you didn't hear thoughts saying, okay, I'm going to be victim of this. That's my decision. Okay, now I'm going to get nervous. That's my decision. I want to feel nervous. Okay, now I want to start feeling guilty. I mean, you don't hear these thoughts in that way. But you're still making these choices. And if you were not making these choices, you could not have this experience. And one thing that I'm happy to do is to tell you that I now know that this is true from my own experience. I didn't always at the time that these messages were received. I was the student of these messages. But what's happened since these messages were received is that I have practiced them. And through practicing, I have then learned that everything these messages taught is true. So I now know that if someone comes through the door screaming at me, I have total power to choose my experience of that. And the experience that I choose to have now, the vast majority of the time, is, peace, patience, and listening. Because usually that person has something to say. And I can listen really well then if I just, stay in peace, patience, and listening. So I know that I can't be affected by the other person. I know that I am choosing my experience, and I know that that's a fact. But I also know what it's like not to know that, because as you guys know, it wasn't that long ago for me. I know what it's like to think that, this is just happening to me, and these reactions are just normal reactions. I know what that's like, too. So what I love is that Holy Spirit is going to explain to us exactly why we choose to be victim. Which we're not consciously aware of. He's going to help us look at this so that we can become educated on an inner process that we're not aware of. And then once we become educated on an inner process that we're not aware of, we can start to notice it within ourselves, right? It's like the light has been turned on. And then we can start to make different choices. And if we really want to, if we're really dedicated to this, our experiences can change. In fact, fairly quickly, maybe a few weeks, maybe a few months, maybe 2 or 3 years. But even the things that took 2 or 3 years to change in me, when I looked back on them, to be honest, that felt pretty quick. Pretty quick. So, again, Spirit says you cannot have the experience of victim without first choosing to be victim. There is no exception to this fact. You are the powerful Son of God, and every experience that you have must follow your choice. It may be helpful to see why you choose this experience. When you see why and see that the reasons do not serve your purpose, you may be more willing to let go of your choice. Victim is an experience. But it isn't just another experience, as some experiences may seem to be. Victim is a carefully crafted experience to teach you that you are what you are not. I'm going to read that again. Victim is a carefully crafted experience to teach you that you are what you are not. It is the prime fruit of forgetfulness. It is the anesthesia for guilt. It is a way out of knowing who you are while you still feel that who you are has done something for which you are guilty. Now, if we just look at the NTI teaching for a moment, in NTI Romans chapter 2, it says that our divine mind had a curious question. The Course calls it a tiny mad idea. And the curious question was something like, what would it be like if everything was different? Right? What would it be like if everything was different than it is? What would that be like if everything was completely different than reality? And that curious question was the beginning of this entire experience. But NTI Romans also goes on to say that once the experience began, our reaction to the experience was kind of like an, oh no, like oh, we've done something wrong. Immediately we forgot what we were. We had this experience which was totally different, and we had this feeling we'd done something very bad, right? Well then, as we know from also A Course in Miracles, the next thing we wanted to do was we wanted to forget that we had done anything. We wanted to forget even more. We wanted to project the guilt outside of the mind. And victim, being the victim of someone else's guilt, is one of the strongest ways we teach ourselves, I am not guilty. Now what happens once we believe this thought of victim, however, is we become the victim of everything. We become the victim of the weather. We become the victim of our own thinking mind. We just crawl up inside this little idea of victim, and we become completely helpless in our own perception. We're just victims. And instead of being the powerful Son of God that we really are, we're completely helpless and the victim of everything. But what Spirit is telling us is that the one who created the experience of victim was me. And if I created the experience of victim, I cannot really be victim, because I always have to be greater than that which I make, right? So Spirit wants us to realize that we made victim. We made victim for a reason, to forget that we were powerful. And to be honest, we did a really good job. I mean, if you think about the creation, or the, you know, the Course wouldn't use the word creation, so I'll say invention if you like. If you think about the invention, you might for a moment have a sense of appreciation for how good it is. Right? Yes, it's a genius job. We want to make something that will teach us that we are not the powerful one that did this thing, make this world, right? We want to make something that will teach us we're not the powerful one. And so we make victim. My God, it's brilliant. Because anybody who's ever felt like a victim for half a second knows that when you feel like a victim, you feel not powerful at all. It's brilliant. I mean, really, we can applaud. But we need to be very aware, okay? We need to be very aware that what I'm teaching now, what Holy Spirit taught Laurent and I, is truth. And it's most helpful if you can hold on to that awareness in those moments when the mind is trying to tell you that you're victim. Whether you're victim of someone else's vibes, victim of the husband who's just walked through the door yelling at you, victim of your own mind that won't shut up. If you can remember for half an instant that you are the one who made the experience of victim, you might begin to remember that power. And if you can remember that power at all, you begin to step outside of being victim. And in fact, the next paragraph says, not choosing to be victim is choosing to remember. But not choosing to be victim is not attacking the root. To get to the root, You must look at your judgment. This is the cause of all guilt, and it is guilt that spawns the anesthesia of victim. So he is saying that what will happen during a moment of feeling like victim, if you remember, I made victim to forget my power, you might begin to feel a bit of that power coming back. But what he's saying in the next paragraph is that's not enough. Because what you have to look at is the cause of the problem. The cause of the problem is judgment. So when you begin to feel that power, you don't move into some type of, my brain is starting to not work so well. I explained to Jasmine yesterday that the brain is not the self, and that the brain can begin to quit, and the self is fine. So I am fine, but my brain is starting to not work so well. I think some of you know this. We call it the aging process. I can't think of the word I want to say right now to save my life. So I'm like stuck in mid-sentence with a sentence I can't finish. So I'm stuck. Welcome to the club, Deb says. So let me see if Holy Spirit will help me through this another way, since the brain is not going in and retrieving the word that I want. All right, so let's start the story again. So the way the story begins is you're feeling like a victim, and then you begin to remember that Holy Spirit taught you that you are the one that created the experience of victim in order to cover up your power. And when you begin to feel that, you feel the little edge of your power. But what you can't do is say, here's where I'm losing the word. What are those words when you say, oh, there's nobody in the room to help me? Maybe you guys can help me. What are those words like the people that get up and look in the mirror every morning? They say, I am beautiful. I am powerful. I am. What are those things called? You guys know these. Affirmation. That's the word. Thank you very much. You can't at this point when the power starts to return, you can't just start saying an affirmation. I am powerful. I am not victim. I am powerful. That's not going to be enough. You know, that's not going to be enough at this point when your power starts to return. What Spirit is saying is what you need to do is you need to use that power that's beginning to return to start looking at the cause of the problem. All right, affirmations are not going to be enough. So you're starting to feel like a victim of whatever. You remember that Spirit tells you you created the experience of victim in order to feel powerful. In order to forget that you're powerful, right? You created the experience of victim in order to forget that you're powerful. In that remembrance, you begin to feel a little bit of power. Now, at this point, what you want to do is you want to look at the mind. And you want to see what judgments in my mind are leading me to feel like victim now. You see, that's different than an affirmation. That's looking right at the ego. What judgments in my mind are making me feel like victim now? And depending on, you know, what your situation is, whether, you know, depending on whether you're thinking that you're victim of someone else's vibes, or you think that you're victim of someone screaming at you, or you think you're victim of your own thinking mind, those thoughts may be different. But chances are, whatever those thoughts are, those are thoughts that return to you again and again and again. And every time you feel like victim, it's a return of those exact thoughts, or at least those similar themed thoughts. And what you want to do is you want to become smart about the thoughts that come to you and you immediately cower. You want to look at those thoughts. You want to look right at those judgments. He says, not choosing to be victim is choosing to remember. But not choosing to be victim is not attacking the root. Okay, so you start to remember, I created victim, but that's not enough. Once you start to feel your power, you need to start looking at how you create victim, right? What thoughts do you listen to over and over again? To get to the root, you must look at your judgment. This is the cause of all guilt, and it is guilt that spawns the anesthesia a victim. Notice when you catch the energy of another or seem affected by what they say or do. Notice the judgments in your own mind. In this moment, you are experiencing the code, believing it, and following the pattern of this belief. This is a time to stop and recognize clearly what you are doing. If you look with honesty, you will see what you need to see. You are not victim. You are judging and choosing, and your experience comes directly from you. So let's imagine then, because it sounds like Laurent was feeling, you know, pulled down by the energy of others. So let's imagine that, you know, there's someone that has entered the room here that's typing something and it's distracting me. And I'm thinking, oh no, this person in the room is pulling me down. Now see, what typically happens is we have these thoughts without even noticing them. I mean, the thought crosses my mind, oh no, this person is, yeah, it's Cliff. This person, Cliff, who's typing, is pulling me down. And I don't see that thought in my mind. Do you know what that thought was? That thought was a decision. Okay? Listen. Listen very carefully. Oh no, there's Cliff. He's typing. He's pulling me down. Those are decisions. They ran by the mind so fast, I didn't look at them. Judgment is another word. They're judgments. Oh no, there's Cliff. He's typing. He's pulling me down. And now I'm down. And then later I get with my friends Ruby and Colleen and Joe. And I say, did you see what Cliff did to me? He did it again. Right? But he didn't. I'm the one that said, oh no, there's Cliff. He's typing. He's pulling me down. That's it. That's it. Oh no. There's my husband coming through the door. He's yelling at me. I've done something wrong. I can't ever do anything right. Right? Or he's so mean. He's so abusive. I'll never be free as long as I'm with him. See, these things are all judgments. Decisions. Choices. And if we want to become free, we must become aware of the decisions, the judgments, the choices that we're making. An affirmation, I am not the victim of the world I see, is not going to work if every time my boss yells at me, I say to myself again, oh no, I screwed up again. I never do anything right. Because it's the code. I mean, I'm going right back to believing those same thoughts again. And if I believe those same thoughts again, I'm going to have that experience again. I have to see the thoughts that I am using to create the experience of victim. Oh no, there's Cliff. He's typing. He's criticizing me. He's pulling me down. That's the problem. That's the problem. That's what I have to see. That's what I have to shine the light on. And I have to realize if I keep buying those thoughts in my mind, I'm going to keep having that experience of victim. It's not any different than the way I became free of hate, right? If I kept believing the thoughts that came into my mind about Laurent, right? I was going to keep on hating him. How did I become free of the hate? I decided that those thoughts were just hate thoughts. I didn't want hate, so I wouldn't listen to hate thoughts. Okay, so now what we have to say is, those are victim thoughts. I don't want to feel like a victim, so I'm not going to believe those thoughts. It doesn't mean the thoughts aren't going to come in the mind, because what we learn from the code is if we've believed them before, they're going to come back. It's kind of like when you throw a stone into the middle of a still pool, you get several rings around that where you threw that stone in, right? Several ripples. The ripples are going to come. But now when I see the ripples from believing these thoughts before, I want to know that they're just ripples, know that it's the past returning, and not make the mistake of believing again, or it's just like throwing in another handful of stones. I'm never going to be free that way. I don't care what Cliff is writing. I mean, you know, of course, Cliff is just playing along with me here. But let's say that Cliff is writing, you know, Regina is full of crap. I don't know why you guys keep coming into this room and listening to her. You know, I mean, that's, you know, I could get you guys to agree with me. That's a pretty direct attack. Here I am trying to teach. I'm trying to focus. Cliff's telling you guys I'm full of crap. It's his fault that I'm being distracted, right? Wrong. He could even get more direct than that, you know? He could get more direct than that. And he cannot distract me unless I choose to think. Oh no. There's Cliff. He's typing. He's pulling me down. If I do not choose to believe those thoughts, it doesn't matter what he types. Now, if I see those thoughts and I've believed them before, the truth is they're probably going to have kind of a pretty strong pull on me. And that's because I gave them that pull from believing them so many times before, or similar thoughts, right? So when he starts typing, there's the thoughts, oh no, there's Cliff, right? He's typing, he's pulling me down. I'm going to feel that pull. But just because I feel that pull does not mean I have to go there. I can feel that pull. And I can know exactly what's going on here. There's those thoughts. Those are the thoughts that make me feel like victim. I've believed them a lot of times before. That's why they have a pull. And then I can firm up inside with the little bit of power that I know and say, but I choose not to give them that power this time. I choose not to believe them this time. If I have to, I close my eyes. I stop looking at the board, I take a moment to recenter, and I go right on teaching. You know what that is? That's a different choice. And I've done that before. Now I don't really have to. And I don't really have to now. But there was a time that I, in order to not be distracted by what people were typing, I had to close my eyes. But what I taught myself through doing that is it's not them that's distracting me. Later, I was able to just not be distracted with my eyes open. You see, it's our thoughts. It's always, always, always our thoughts. It's never anyone or anything else. Notice when you catch the energy of another or seem affected by what they say or do. Notice the judgments in your own mind. What is your mind saying to you while that person is typing in the room? While that person is standing there with what you call, quote, their bad vibes? While that person is yelling at you? What is your mind saying? Look at that. go introverted. What's really causing your experience of victim? Look. Be wise and look. What's it saying? What's the mind said to you 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times before that you're falling for again? Be introverted. Look. Notice when you catch the energy, when you feel like you're catching, really, right? Notice when you catch the energy of another or seem affected by what they say or do. Notice the judgments in your own mind. In this moment, you are experiencing the code. It's the past come back again. You're believing it, and you're following the pattern of this belief. This is a time to stop and recognize clearly what you are doing that you've done 1,000,000 times before. But this time, look. If you look with honesty, you will see what you need to see. You are not victim. You are judging and choosing. Right? And your experience comes directly from you. Oh no, there's Cliff. That's the cause of my experience. Not whatever Cliff is typing. Holy Spirit continues. Again, this observation is not a time for judging as guilty. Now, the big mistake that plenty of people make is that even if they do this first part, they stop and they go introverted, right? When they see the thoughts, oh no, there's Cliff, the next thing they do is they judge themselves for thinking that about Cliff. That's never going to work. That's never, never going to work. Again, this observation is not a time for judging as guilty, as the ego will tell you that you are. This observation is an opportunity for freedom. For as you realize that you are free, as you are always free, you can choose to see differently. This is just a time for enlightenment. That's literally what these moments are. They're enlightenment moments. Maybe this thing between Cliff and I has been going on for 5 years in ACIM Gather. 5 years he's been coming in this room. He's been typing things. I've been getting distracted. Then my ego comes out and the whole rest of the hour is just me and Cliff going back and forth, right? Everybody's seen it 1,000,000 times. Everybody knows my ego. Everybody knows Cliff's ego because this is all we ever do in here, right? But tonight, for some reason... You know, maybe because Spirit gave me this message this morning, right? Tonight, for some reason, I look within and I see those thoughts. Oh no, there's Cliff. That's a moment of enlightenment. That's a moment of understanding on my side what's been going wrong for the last 5 years. That's my opportunity to begin to make a different choice, no matter how much history there is, no matter how much of a gravitational pull there is to believe those thoughts, no matter what. It's a moment of enlightenment. It's my opportunity to say, aha. The reason this keeps happening between me and Cliff over and over and over again is because every time he types, I think and believe this. Now, if I just take my part out of it, Cliff doesn't have to change at all. if I just take my part out of it, my experience will change. It's a moment of celebration. It's not a moment for judging myself for what I've done wrong. It's a glorious moment of celebration because now I see the solution. I see that I'm free. I mean, it doesn't matter what cliff types, I'm totally free to look at my own mind and make different choices. In fact, it doesn't matter what anybody does. You can lock me up, you can throw me in prison, you can turn out the lights, you can throw away the key. I am still free to make my own choices in my mind. This is a moment of enlightenment. It's not a moment for judgment. Again, this observation is not a time for judging as guilty, as the ego will tell you that you are. This observation is an opportunity for freedom. For as you realize that you are free, as you are always free, you can choose to see differently. In this choice, do all things follow. Through this choice, do you learn that you are truly free? And again, one thing I love about being able to share is because I get to share from experience. You know, I've been through this. I've had plenty of people come in the room and type all sorts of things. Not that I remember ever Cliff, by the way. Maybe you did and I forgot, but I just don't remember that. Cliff's always in here just joking around, as far as I remember. Sometimes he's even a little admiring. But there have been plenty of people in here typing, and there have been plenty of posts, you know, on different Yahoo groups, and plenty of private emails. And I got to practice this. I got to practice watching my mind and letting go of my thoughts. And many of those people and, you know, the apparent attacks stopped. Many of those people just disappeared. I have no idea where they went. Some of them moved to different forums and continued there, but since I'm not in those forums, I rarely see it, occasionally hear about it, but it's not in my face anymore. And every now and then, someone new does it. And do you know what I love about that? Is it helps me to see that I really have let go of believing that I'm victim, that I'm attacked. Because I know now in all honesty and sincerity that there's no reaction in me whatsoever, not even a change in how I feel about that person. In fact, I've had friends more than once who've gone into a phase of seemingly attacking me, and then for some reason they stop and they come back to being my friends and we're right back where we left off because there's no grievance on my part. You see, if we ever have an experience that's anything other than love, it's because we're choosing that experience. Because love is our only honest, natural experience. So if I am feeling anything other than love about anyone or anything you say or do, I've made the choice to have that experience. And I guess if I like it, I can keep right on choosing it because I'm free. But maybe what I need to do is I need to ask myself honestly, do I like this? Do I like feeling victim of what people say about me? Do I like feeling attacked when people type things about me? Do I like feeling uncomfortable? You know, when I know there are people out there who don't like me. And if I don't like those experiences, then maybe I need to practice what Spirit is teaching us in this message. Maybe I need to go introverted. Maybe when I'm having those experiences, I need to stop and look at the thoughts in my mind. I need to realize that's the cause of the experience, these judgments in my mind. I am deciding right now what kind of an experience this is. I'm deciding right now what kind of an experience this is. Are these the decisions I really want to make? Or do I want to start making different decisions? And like Spirit says in this one paragraph, in this choice, do all things follow. Now, Spirit doesn't necessarily mean everybody's going to start playing nice with me now. You know, never again will anybody write an unfavorable thing about me. I mean, heck, if that was true, Jesus' body could never have been hung on a cross. He's talking about my experience of it. My experience of whatever anyone else chooses to say or do will only be an experience of love. That's freedom. I was reading, I'm now reading that book, Biography of a Yogi. I think many of you have read it. I'm in the chapter where Yogananda is talking about when he was with his teacher, and he's talking about how he had these mosquitoes attacking him every night when he stayed with the teacher because they had no mosquito nets. One night he's just totally ticked off with the mosquitoes and that they don't have mosquito nets, so he goes in to, you know, wake up his master and say something to him. And his master's in deep, deep, what do they call it, samadhi? Is that the word for it? The course word is actually revelation. He's in deep, deep samadhi, revelation. He is also being bitten by mosquitoes, but peacefully unaware of it. Well, his master comes out of the samadhi in order to talk to him. And his master says something to him. Of course, this is not an exact quote, but the idea is accurate, I'm sure. Something to him about, you cannot change the entire world to make you happy. Why not go to the place within where the world cannot affect you? That's really what we're talking about here. We're talking about a state of mind. We're starting by making conscious choices. This is the path of A Course in Miracles, the personal messages, and NTI. It's making a conscious choice to look at what we have been choosing and let that go. But what's honestly happening is we're at the beginning of our yellow brick road that's leading us to that point where we can finally click our heels twice and go home. We're learning. We're babies. But we're learning it's not the world that bothers us, it's what we think about the world. That's a baby step. It's a baby step. I don't want anybody to think we're doing anything more than learning to crawl here. But we got to learn to crawl before we learn to walk, and we got to learn to walk before we learn to run and before we learn to fly. We got to watch the choices we're making and believing over and over and over again, and then declaring them facts based on our experience, not realizing that we're making our experience. You're not the victim of your husband. You're not the victim of your boss. You're not the victim of your mind. You're not the victim of your children. You're not the victim of your financial situation. You're not the victim of your health. But these affirmations are not helpful. Go in and look. When you're feeling attacked, when you're feeling like victim, look at the thoughts that your mind is speaking that you have listened to over and over and over again. That's the point at which you start to make different choices. That's the beginning of the yellow brick road. Okay, that's it for now. So there's more to this message, so we'll continue looking at it next Sunday, okay? All right, I love you all very much, and I will be here on Wednesday this week, so maybe I'll see some of you then. Bye-bye.